I guess the first thing I always knew about my grandfather was the end. I don't know how old I was, but at some point, my parents told me about how my father's father had died in a concentration camp and that he had been brought there. I think this is how I understood it at the time, because he was a good and decent man, and that he had helped people in a way that the Nazis found threatening. So the first thing I knew about my grandfather was the end, Buchenwald. And we went there when I was about 12 years old, and it was East Germany, and the whole place smelled. The strong smell of the wood coal that they used for heating. It was this very strong smell. I don't think I'd ever smelled it before. And somehow in my mind, it got mixed up with the idea of chimneys and the crematorium. And years later, when I was in Czechoslovakia on what was otherwise a really happy orchestral tour, there was that same smell. And I kept thinking, crematorium. But that's not the only thing I know about my grandfather. I had some pictures, black and white, and he was very elegant in a well-cut suit. He had my dad on his lap. He looked a lot like my dad and my uncle, kind of mixed together, which I guess makes sense. But then last year, a cousin sent me some letters that he'd found that my grandfather had written much earlier in the 1920s when he was a doctor in Persia. And the letters were just incredible. I suddenly saw him as a young man who had the same thirst for adventure and for travel that kind of bugs me. And he had tales of servants who were cheating him with the money he gave them to buy bread and going hunting on horseback and a flight to Tehran that he shared with an English couple. And so now I always wonder whether at the end those were the images that were in his mind of that flight over the mountains of Persia. I
I
always
guess
love going on a trip. I always knew about my
You
grandfather
know,
was
other
the end.
kids will be told to make a wish
I
on
don't
a
know how old I
star,
was, but at some point,
but sometimes I look up in the
my
night
parents told
sky
me about how
and I make a wish on an
my father's
airplane.
father had
Not because I can't tell the
died in a
difference,
concentration camp,
but because I have a travel
and
bug and I
that
love to
he
go
had been brought
places.
there.
But when I
I
go
think this is
somewhere,
how I
especially
understood it
by
at the time,
plane, because he was a good and decent man, and that he
I
had
sort of
helped
get
people
lost in this sense.
in a way that
I guess I'm halfway
the Nazis
there, but I
found
haven't left
threatening.
yet. And airports
So the first thing I
always
knew about my grandfather was the
disorient
end,
me.
Buchenwald. And we went there when I
I
was
can
about
spend an
12
hour in a
years
duty-free
old,
shop just sniffing
and that was East
perfumes.
Germany, and the whole place
Sometimes I've missed
smelled.
planes
The
because of
strong
this. I know
smell
it's
of
ridiculous. But there's
the
something
wood
about
coal that they
departure that
used for
is
heating. It was this very
exciting,
strong smell,
but in a
I don't
way
think I'd ever
that
smelled it
kind of takes me
before.
out of my body and makes me
And
lose
somehow in my
all
mind it got
sense of
mixed up with the
myself.
idea of chimneys and the crematorium. And years later, when I was in
These days, departure
Czechoslovakia
are more of a messy thing.
on what was
We
otherwise
have
a really happy
kids,
orchestral
strollers,
tour, there
too
was
many
that same
bags.
smell. And I kept thinking,
The lines at the airport just
crematorium.
get longer.
But that's not the only
The
thing I
duty-free
know about
shop
my
is no longer a
grandfather.
playground for me, but
I had some
a
pictures, black
minefield
and
to be
white,
rushed through
and
before
he
the
was
kids
very
beg for
elegant in
prezzies.
a well-cut suit. He had my dad on his lap.
I wonder whether my kids feel the same sense of excitement when they go
He looked a lot like
places.
my dad and my uncle, kind of mixed together, which I guess makes sense. But then Last year, a cousin sent me some letters that he'd found.
I like train stations better than airports.
Much earlier.
Especially the European ones.
20s.
That are built like cathedrals with high ceilings, and they're filled with...
And the letters were just incredible.
A special kind of light.
I suddenly saw him as a young man.
Always slanted at any time of day. At least in my mind.
For adventure and for travel.
And the trains just connect places in a way that's much more real than planes. It's not like he could actually get off the train.
Servants who were cheating him
in the middle of the road.
Gave them to buy bread.
But it's sort of the idea that you haven't left the ground.
And a flight to Tehran.
Trains are beautiful. I wish there were more of them.
And so now I always wonder whether at the end those were the images that were in his mind of that flight over the mountains of Persia.
I always love going on a trip.
The first thing I always knew about my grandfather was
other kids. My father-in-law started to get sick.
But at some point,
but sometimes 2 years ago, when he was diagnosed with
a wish on an airplane,
a brain tumor.
Not because I can't.
But he was such an optimistic person, and he was so healthy and fit and handsome that it didn't seem real until really much, much later.
Somehow
managed to keep his hair. He managed to keep his looks.
In a way that,
but by the end, he was bedridden.
But I haven't left yet.
And he was gradually fading away.
Disorient me. Buchenwald. And we went there when I was
My mother-in-law made sure that he could stay at home, that he didn't have to go to a hospital.
Sometimes I've missed planes because of this.
He only went to hospitals for checkups, but he stayed at home all the way till the end.
But in a way that kind of takes me out.
And it was the first time I saw anyone close to death. And
crematorium, and
I know that for my husband and his family, it was
otherwise kids, strollers,
overwhelmingly sad. And I was sad too, but there was also something
but that's not the only
sort of magical about
playground for me,
watching somebody
a
minefield so close to that portal. And I would look at him lying there as he was really within the last few weeks of his life.
Feel the same sense of excitement when they go.
And he was very quiet, and he was had his eyes closed most of the time. But he would make these little movements with his hands. They didn't seem voluntary. They were just little flutters.
I like train stations better than
airports. And his breathing would speed up and slow down.
Especially the European ones, 20s.
And it reminded me of watching a newborn baby sleep. Who were just as close to that portal in a way. And who also have these little hand gestures.
And
the train, the rapid changes of breathing that you don't always understand where it comes from.
It's not like you could actually get off the train.
And there was something very precious about that, and I felt very
very
honored that I was allowed to sit and hold his hand or just sit and be there.
I wish there were more of them. And so now I always wonder whether at the end those were the images that were in his mind of that flight over the mountains of Persia.
Well, I think I always knew I wanted to play the violin.
I always knew about making.
Nobody knows where it comes from. I think I was 3 when I first told my parents I wanted to play the violin.
But sometimes 2 years ago,
it wasn't a crazy idea, but they were surprised because there were no violinists in the immediate family.
Not because I can't.
But he was such an optimistic. But I just think I like the shape of it,
and
I think that's what it was, and I still do.
It didn't seem real until. But when I go somewhere,
really much, much later. So beautifully curved, and
he
somehow managed.
There's
something about the pegs
to keep his looks.
That's kind of ridiculous and graceful at the same time.
But I haven't left yet.
And he was gradually. I must have liked the sound of it too. I must have heard violins being played, and I must have connected it to the music that I was already listening to.
Sure that he could stay at home,
but I think it was above all the shape.
Go to a hospital.
Well, my parents made me wait for a while.
He only went to hospitals for checkups, but he
and it was
he
only when I was
all the way
six
till the end,
almost seven,
in a way that,
that I got the violin.
And it was the first time I saw anyone close to
I think
to death.
I drove my sister bananas that first day.
I know that for my
and I kept carrying my little violin around,
and his family,
which of course I didn't know how to play. And I would pretend
sad.
That I was a gypsy girl. And that this
and
was,
I was
my
sad
instrument
too, but there was also something.
I must have made such a racket with it.
Sort of magical about playground.
I remember that. I think I wanted to go to sleep with it. I wanted to take it to bed that first night.
And
my mother said no.
Lying there as he
it would get damaged
really within the last few weeks of his life.
But there's a very sensuous relationship you have with a violin.
And his eyes closed most
I'm
of
sure
the time. But he would
every musician will say the same about their instrument. But
with his hands, they would
if you see
seem voluntary,
violinists in an orchestra rehearsal, when they're not playing and they have the instrument resting on their knee,
the European ones.
Like you sometimes see them almost kissing the pegs
watching a newborn
or kind of brushing their forehead against the scroll.
Just as close to that portal in a way.
It's,
always
and who also has it's a very special relationship that we have. It has a head,
and the train,
a neck,
the rapid
a body.
Breathing that you don't always in a way that's much more real
understand
the
where it comes from. There's really no reason why we shouldn't sleep with it.
And there's something very the precious about that, and I felt very...
Unless, of course,
it's
a straight area.
I was allowed to sit and hold his hand or just light, to sit and be there. Beautiful. I wish there were more of them. And so now I always wonder whether at the end those were the images that were in his mind of that flight over the mountains of Persia.
I think I always knew I wanted to play the violin. Of course, nobody encouraged me to improvise.
I think I was
when I was little,
when I first told my parents I wanted to
when I started to play the violin. It wasn't a crazy
idea.
When I took piano lessons,
because there were no
nobody encouraged improvisation.
But he was such an optimist.
I don't think I even heard the word in a musical context.
I think that's what it was, and I still do.
I think improvising when I was little was something you did to make do when plan A wasn't working out.
About the pegs.
It was
that's kind of ridiculous and graceful.
Substituting one ingredient in a recipe for another because you didn't have it.
You must have liked the sound of it.
I don't know when I
must have
first heard about improvisation in music.
Connected it to the music that I was already listening
to. I was probably a teenager by then.
But I think it was above all the shape. Go to a hospital.
And by
well,
then,
my parents made me wait
it just seemed
while.
Like something that only other people could do.
And it was only
you had to play jazz.
Six.
You had to be naturally gifted.
Seven.
You had to be the sort of person who would put themselves on the spot.
I think I drove my sister
and just let go,
and
I kept producing my little violin around out of nothing,
which of course I didn't know how to play.
Which was so different from the way I was taught to make art, which involved a piece of sheet music in front of me.
But there was also something
I must have made such a racket with it.
Sort of magical about a playground.
I remember that. I'm still jealous of people who can improvise.
Make it to bed that first
I started trying to,
and
my mother said no. I sometimes sit at the piano and I pick out some chords. And but there's a very sensuous relationship you have. I think I'm very slowly working my way backwards. Every musician will say the same about their instrument, but unlearning all the texts,
violinists in an orchestra
taking down the sheet music
when they're not playing
and
they have the
instrument
resting on
learning
their
to
knee.
Let go and see what happens.
Almost kissing the pegs,
watching a newborn kind of brushing their forehead against the scroll,
just as close to that portal in a way.
It's, I mean,
it's a very
what else am I doing right now other than improvising?
And the train,
a neck,
the rapid
a body.
Breathing that you don't always is in a way that's much more real.
Understand
where it comes from.
There's really no reason why we shouldn't sleep with it.
And there was something very precious about that, and I felt very...
Unless, of course, it's a straight of
I was allowed to sit and hold his hand or just light, to sit and be there.
Beautiful.
I wish there were more of them. And so now I always wonder whether at the end those were the images that were in his mind of that flight over the mountains of Persia. I think I always knew I wanted to play.
Oh, I miss Jerusalem.
Of course, nobody encouraged me to improvise.
I think I was I lived there for 4 years.
When I first told my parents I wanted to
when
play
I from 2000
to play violin
to 2004, when I took piano lessons. Now, I don't know how well you know
nobody encouraged
Jerusalem or recent Israeli history, but those 4 years happened to coincide with the Second Intifada.
I think I arrived. I think improvising
the day
when I was little,
Ehud Barak returned from Camp David,
to make do
where he had failed to reach an agreement with Yasser Arafat.
It was
the reason I remember that is because I had moved to Israel to be with my boyfriend who played the tuba. And he played the tuba in the music corps of the army as a reservist. And so the first day I had barely arrived at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
And by then
he had to leave and fly out to some desert airstrip.
You had to be
and play in the army band for Barack, who was returning
sort of person who
from a failure.
Put themselves on the spot.
And I left my sister just around the time that Yasser Arafat died. So it was really an era.
Of course, I didn't know how to play.
But that's the politics of it. And people just don't understand how beautiful, how sensuous, and how incredibly spiritual a place Jerusalem is.
I'm still jealous of people.
And it really is. There's something about the earth.
I started trying to. And my mother
about the land that is
sometimes
so
I sit at a piano and I pick out some chords.
Juicy that makes you want to just
a very sensuous
touch it and have it
slowly working my way back.
That very quickly makes you understand why people are willing to shed blood over it.
Violinists and an orchestra taking down the sheet music.
But Jerusalem is also a very sleepy town.
Learning to let go and
Shabbat in Jerusalem is the most quiet cityscape you'll ever see. It's not that you're not allowed to drive. That's only one day a year on Yom Kippur.
What else am I doing right now?
But everything is just a little slower and more quiet. The streets are almost free of traffic, and you can just walk, stroll down the middle of the street. And you don't have to be going to synagogue. You could be going to a cafe or to see a movie at the Cinematheque, which has a beautiful view of the old city. Allora, vediamo. La prima volta che ho sentito italiano, probabilmente avevo 3-4 anni.
I
started kindergarten at the European School of Brussels.
Now, I don't know how well you know nobody encouraged
Jerusalem. There were lots of other languages. There was French, there was
German,
Dutch, English.
I think I arrived.
But come on, Italian? I mean, no contest. I think I just always loved the sound of it. I think when I was little, I would sometimes sit and pretend I was speaking Italian, even though I didn't know a single word of it.
To be with my boyfriend who played the tuba.
And then I got into opera,
tuba in the music corps of the army,
especially Mozart opera
service.
And so the first and I learned Italian through the libretti of Lorenzo da Ponte.
He had to leave,
and so I learned words like scellerato and traditore, words which I would later discover were not immediately useful on an Italian street. So it was really but it was the sound of it more than anything else
that's the politics
just kind of entered my bloodstream through the ears
how beautiful
to music.
How
oh, and of course, the swear words. Because by the time I was a teenager, we had Italian friends in school, and we would ask them to tell us how to insult somebody in Italian. So they would say, scemo, stronzo, vaffanculo, testa di cazzo. And it all just sounds wonderful. Then I went to Florence when I was 17, and I took an Italian language course. And I took to it like a fish to water. I think I learned to speak within a month.
Shabbat.
But what's really funny is that not long afterwards I did my driver's license.
Cityscape.
And when I started to drive,
it's not that you're not allowed.
Whenever another driver would cut me off in traffic or otherwise piss me off, I would just swear at them in Italian.
Se ma
vaffanculo testa di cazzo.
Almost free of traffic.
And I'd feel better.
You can just walk, stroll down the middle of the street.
I wonder whether that's why people like Andrea Bocelli.
Going to a cafe.
Just because of the language he sings in. I mean,
which has a beautiful.
Who wants to listen to that in anything else?
Allora, vediamo. La prima volta che ho sentito italiano,
oh my god, the children in Burma are just so cute. Maybe that sounds patronizing.
There were lots of other
but
languages.
Show me one tourist who goes to that country and doesn't come back
but come on,
with a memory card filled with images of children.
I love the sound of it.
They have this special kind of makeup in Burma called Hanaka, which is made out of some kind of a paste of minerals and ground mud.
Into opera.
Apparently it's a bit of a natural sunscreen as well. The women wear it,
and
children, and some men too. But the mothers get very creative, and they will kind of use it for a little bit of face painting on their children's faces, and they'll make little spirals and squirrels on their cheeks. Or some of them just cake the whole face in it.
Immediately useful.
They're all barefoot,
Italian street,
dirty.
So it was really
poor church mice.
More than anything else,
and they follow you everywhere.
Kind of entered my bloodstream.
When I was out in Western Burma, in Arakan,
and of course,
there would be hordes of children that would just follow you around.
We had Italian friends in school, and
a few days afterwards, when I was in Bagan, which is much more touristy.
So they would say,
I realized that some of them might have been hoping for tips or gifts.
And it all just
but I have
wonderful.
To say that it didn't really occur to me there. I thought they just
then I went to Florence,
wanted
to
see me and smile and make connections with these strange-looking foreigners who came to their village.
Within a month.
And I would try and talk to them with hands and feet.
Not long afterwards, I did my
driving. And my interpreter would get visibly annoyed with me as much as any Burmese is ever visibly annoyed with you.
Piss me off.
Because I think he just saw it beneath his dignity to translate for children.
And I'd feel better.
And at one point he said, oh, you must miss your own children. But that wasn't it. It was more about
people like Andrea Bocelli
wanting to connect with a culture, and it's much easier to speak to children who you don't share a language with than adults because they're not self-conscious about it.
Allora, vediamo. La prima volta che ho sentito italiano.
When I was little, my mother always sang us to sleep.
Cute.
I remember that she would often do some ironing in the hallway between my room and that of my sister. And she would sing. She would sing
with a memory
lullabies.
Filled with images.
She would sing
of children,
folk songs, and she would sing
special kind of
bits
makeup
of
I would sometimes in Burma called
nonsense songs,
which is made out of some kind of a paste
and
of minerals.
And the sound of her voice singing in the evening was always mixed up with the smell of hot, freshly laundered cotton when it's being ironed, which I love.
Get very creative, and they will
kind of use it. So I can't really explain why, when I loved the sound of her singing so much, I just refused to sing myself.
Words which, or some of them just
by the time I was 6, 7, 8 years old,
They're all barefoot.
I thought singing was the most embarrassing activity known to man.
And they follow you everywhere.
I don't think I minded it in
when
other
I was
people.
Out in Western Burma,
I mean, I liked opera even by the time I was that young. But
and of course,
they would personally, I just thought it was icky.
We had Italian friends in
it was way too personal.
A few days afterwards,
and it was just embarrassing,
Balkan,
and it almost seemed like it was redundant because surely that was what instruments were invented for. That was why I played the violin,
or a gift,
so that I wouldn't have to sing.
It didn't really occur to me there. I thought they just
then I went to Florence,
wanted to see me,
and
I managed to get around singing. Very successfully for a very, very long time.
Strange-looking foreigners who came to their village within a month.
And I would try but then I studied music in England,
and my interpreter would
where everything is based on choral singing and choral conducting.
Any Burmese is ever visibly annoyed with.
And I did everything I could to get out of.
I think he just saw it
choral singing,
to
and I managed to get out of it.
And I'd feel better.
But then one day, at the end of my first year, I had this practical musicianship exam.
It was more about
and I was
wanting
asked
to
sight sing.
To
so I had no idea that I was going to have to sight sing.
Than adults because they're not
I didn't have the first clue how it was going to be done. I mean, how to even know where to jump from one note to the next when you can't even see. But then I started to sing because I became a mother. And it started almost immediately after I gave birth.
I remember that
to my first daughter.
Often do some ironing in
I gave birth in a Jerusalem hospital, which is a mixture of first world medicine and third world birth rates. So it was
folk songs
overcrowded. And after giving birth, there was no room for me. So they wheeled a bed into the corridor, and I slept on that.
Singing in the evening was always mixed up with.
And after a couple of hours of sleep,
hot.
A nurse came and woke me, and she had my daughter in this little plexiglass bed on wheels.
So I can't really explain why.
And she said, "Feeding time."
Her singing so much,
and showed me to this little room.
I just refused to sing myself.
It's a sort of room that,
by the time I was
maybe in another building, would have been given over to a photocopying machine. It was really small.
And
there was just a chair in it.
Activity, no
and there I was, holding this little bundle.
I don't think I minded it in when other people.
That was my newborn baby.
I mean, I liked
and
opera by the time I was that young. But
I was terrified. I didn't know how to hold her.
It was icky.
I was worried about dropping her head.
It was way too personal.
I didn't know anything about babies.
And it almost seemed like
and the nurse
redundant because
just sort of pulled out my boob and
attached
it to Lara's mouth. And
the violin.
Said, you see?
So that I wouldn't have to sing.
And then she walked out. And I was sitting there in that little room.
And I managed to get around
I was in pain and I was exhausted.
Very, very long time.
And I was terrified of these changes that were happening.
Then I studied music.
And I was sure that there was no milk.
And my interpreter would
where everything
and
is
so
based.
I just
started
singing,
to sing. I started to hum this melody that I had been listening to.
And I did everything I could
in a recording
to get out of
early Mexican Baroque
and
music. And it was just a tune that had stuck in my head.
But then one day,
I started humming it over and over and over. And
practical music.
I think it helped me relax.
And I was,
and it probably helped Lara relax. And at some point, she started drinking. And
I had no idea that I was going to have.
And then that was it. Motherhood and singing just went hand in hand. And we always think that we sing to soothe our infants, but I think it gives just as much
to
the mother.